Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message provided by Monroe Global Incorporated and MonroeGlobal.com. We transform followers into leaders and leaders into agents of change. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover your purpose. Now, let's go into the message.
What do you do when you cannot control what's happening? Let me define what a crisis is for you again. A crisis is an event or a circumstance or a situation that impacts and influences your life, over which you have no control or you are not the cause of or responsible for. In other words, a crisis is something that you have no control over. This is why it's very difficult for even governments to talk to their own citizens. Because if they could have controlled what was happening, they would have more confidence in speaking to their people. The problem with a crisis is you don't control anything. So everyone is a victim of the circumstance. Now, I know that most of us may not consider how important it is when they talk about the two major car companies in the United States having to be bailed out or requesting assistance from the U.S. government. But please take that seriously. It is also estimated that over 5 million jobs in the United States are directly or indirectly related to the automotive industry. In other words, those of you in the Bahamas or Jamaica could appreciate that, because if your economy is built significantly, percentage built on a specific industry, then any change in that industry negatively will affect a ripple effect in your economy. Case in point, in the Bahamas, it is believed that one out of every three jobs or even more are related to tourism in the Bahamas. The second largest employer in our country, next to the government, is a resort. If something was to happen to our tourist product, our country would collapse. That's what America is facing now with the automotive industry. This is why the CEOs of the automotive giants sitting before Congress are sitting there without shame. They have some clout. What they're saying is, we need help. We can't control the circumstances. We are victims of this global crisis. And the same way you helped the banks from collapsing, you save the insurance companies from imploding. The same way you are extending your hands to other private corporations, we need you to give us at least $34 billion or we will file bankruptcy, and there's a potential of over 5 million people losing their jobs just like that, which means that the Bahamas and Jamaica and all the other countries who depend on the U.S. tourist dollar will be in trouble. Now, I listen very carefully because to me this is a historic event going on. Never in the history of the United States has that country been brought to a place where it is having to buy out the private sector. I say bailout, but I think it's a buyout. Buyout means that the government is literally having to take ownership of private enterprise, which is the foundation of capitalism. Listen carefully, please. Now, I thought that this was the first time this has happened in history. Now, remember this statement. It's not what happens to you that matters. It's what you do about what happens to you that matters. So what's happening now in the world, every country, France, Germany, England, Spain, Belgium, Venezuela, Chile, Peru, Mexico, Canada, the United States, everybody is trying to respond to this crisis. You know of the meetings they had last 3 weeks ago. The G7 group met, then the G12 met, and everybody is trying to figure out how do we respond to the crisis. Well, here's something to remember. Write this down. Doing nothing is not an option. You cannot, in a crisis, do nothing. It will destroy you. And that's why the governments are working so hard. Now, the United States, which is doing the same that England did, England moved before the United States. Canada actually moved before India, and before England, rather. What France did, France bought out their banks. Britain bought out their banks. So they actually owned the banks in the country, the major banks. The government owned the banks. In the United States, the government not only have ownership in the banks, but also in the insurance companies. And now the major industries, like the car companies, are saying, do something with us. Buy us out. Give us some money. Let us owe you. We want to survive, but we need you to give us a lot of money, $34 billion. Now, the money they're asking for is government money. But let me remind you all that governments have no money. All government money is the people's money. That's where your taxes go. When you pay customs duties, when you pay NIB, when you pay your income tax or your federal tax or state tax in the U.S. or wherever you are from, that is what they call government money. It's the people's money. So you've got the companies in the country who hire the people. Telling the people to loan me your money to keep you employed. This is a deep scenario. What you're about to read is shocking. When there's a crisis, the word for crisis in the Bible is the word famine. Everybody say famine. Say it again. In an agricultural society, famine is crisis. In a capitalist society, economic downturn is crisis. Same thing. Now, I want you to read with me from the book of Genesis. Can you, everyone, turn there, please? You won't believe what you're going to read. I want to read this very quickly because I want to show you that Barack Obama need to go and study Joseph. I mean this seriously. Mr. President, sir, if you're watching this program anywhere in hotels, anywhere you stay in, sir, please go and study Genesis and read the strategy of Joseph. I'm about to read to you exactly what Congress is doing right now in the United States, in the Bible. Genesis chapter 47, verse 13. Now, as you read this, every time you see something that's happening now, just say, all right, ready, go. There was no food. I hear y'all. In the whole region because the famine was severe. Good. Both Egypt and Canaan wasted away because of the famine. Joseph collected all the money that was to be found in the country and in Canaan in payment for grain they were buying. Now, when you read that, it is the government taking the money. Joseph is the government. He is the prime minister of Egypt at the time. Why did he take the money? So the people could have food. It gets worse. They had to pay for the grain they were buying. And he brought it to Pharaoh's palace. Where did he bring it? Now, every time you see Pharaoh, Just say government. When the money of the people of Egypt and Canaan was gone, that means all the money gone, anybody feel that yet? They broke. All Egypt came to Joseph and said, give us food. Who'd they go to? What is Joseph? The government. So we got handouts, we got the social department, we got welfare departments, we've got food stamps. In other words, a crisis drives people to the government to feed them. There it is. They said, give us food. Why should we die before your eyes? Our money is used up. I have no employment. But you need to feed me, government. Read the next statement. It says in verse 16, then bring your livestock, Joseph says. Who's speaking? The government. Now, everybody say stock. Sounds familiar? Stocks and bonds. That's where the word came from. Years ago, people kept their wealth in their livestock. Today, we keep it in Wall Street stocks. Same stocks. He says, watch now, Joe went from their money to their stocks. Give me your assets. I will sell you food in exchange for your livestock, since your money is gone. So they bought their livestock to Joseph, and he gave them food in exchange for their horses, their sheep, their goats, their cattle, their donkeys. And he bought them through that year with food in exchange for all of their livestock. People start, in other words, this is foreclosure. If you are a cattleman in Egypt, you own cattle. For you to eat, Joe says, I gotta foreclose on your cattle. People losing their houses here. Their houses, their cattle. It's their livestock. He says, if you want to eat, then your economy has to collapse privately. But read the next verse. This one is so up to date. It says in verse 18, and when that year was over, they came to him again the following year and said, we cannot hide from our Lord the fact that since our money is gone and our livestock belongs to who? You, the government. There is nothing left for our Lord except our bodies and our land. In other words, crisis drives you to the point where you even begin to give up your personal private ownership to the government. That's exactly what they're doing in Congress now. You see the CEO sitting there begging the government, listen, whatever you got to do, just help us. Verse 19, why should we perish before your eyes, we and our land as well? Buy us and our land in exchange for food. They're selling now the last thing they have, just to eat food. Buy us and our land for food. And we with our land will be in bondage to the government. You know, the congressmen, two of them asked the CEOs of GM and Chrysler. They said, okay, if we gave you this money, what are you going to give us? They're talking to a private company. If we give you this money, how are you going to pay this back? In other words, we are going to own this company if we give you $34 billion. We're going to take over your private assets. The government will own the car company. There's one word they're afraid to use all during this time. It's the word socialism. Everybody is thinking it, but they can't say it. Nationalizing the private enterprise is socialistic ideology. And they are asking the government. Now the government already took over the banks, they got the banks, they got the mortgage companies, now we're moving into automotive. And the argument is, if they give this group of companies money, then the others going to line up too. Do you understand how serious this is? Joseph had the same problem. The famine was so bad that they had to literally begin to give their assets to the government just for them to survive. Look at the last part of this. He says, let us give this to you so we can at least eat and live and not die, and that the land may not become desolate. In other words, the factory is just rot. Last section, verse 47. Chapter 47, rather, verse 20. So Joseph bought what? All the land in Egypt. For who? The government. Now, when I say Pharaoh, I say government. He bought all the land for who? There's nothing new. That's happening right now. There's nothing new under the sun. Here is a famine crisis, and the government is taking over the private farms because the farms cannot survive. And so they are turning over all their assets to the government. Look at the next statement. The Egyptians, one and all, sold their fields because the famine was too severe for them. The land became the government's land. When the government of the United States bailed out AIG, they bought up all the houses that foreclosed. So this is why President Obama could say to the banks and insurance companies now, I don't want you all to let no one else lose their homes. Now, what give them authority to say that? Because the government has so much power now in the bank and in the insurance industry, they can tell them, don't let that woman lose her house. The government says so. So you reorganize that mortgage so that woman don't. In other words, the government is instructing the private bank, which is no longer private because the government now has so many shares in it. The government is doing exactly what Joseph did 6,000 years ago. Joe is saying, look, we're going to control everything so you can eat. That's where we're at, folks. This is amazing. Look at verse 22. However, he did not buy the land of who? The priest. Now, this is where I get to shout, okay? This is where I get to shout. Now, this is where your shouting shoe could come on right here. You all wonder why he's shouting. He said, look, the crisis will eat up anybody who ain't priests. Now, I don't know about you, but God says, you shall be a holy nation, a royal. You all better say it to yourself. A royal. Everybody waves if you're a priest. Come on. The only group of people. Oh, getting ready to run now. The only group of people that survived the crisis was those who were clothed in a royal robe. Y'all better shout amen. I don't know about you, but I'm a priest. Boy, what a blessing, eh? You better take that verse, underline it, put it up on your mirror in the morning and say, that's me, that's me. Remind God, that's me. They can take everybody else's house, they can't touch mine. They can take their land, they can't touch mine. Why? I am your priest. Shout amen if you're a priest. The only group that he did not buy the land from was the priest. Why? Because they received. Lord have mercy. Y'all ain't shouting yet. Listen, in farming, the priests receive. Can I prophesy? In the midst of this crisis, your business is going to grow. See, y'all ain't got the conviction yet. I'm a prosperous man because of my mouth. Say it. I will grow in the midst of farming. I heard that testimony this morning, the young lady who they released into opportunity. And she used it to start her own business. Sit up straight if you're a priest. Just sit up straight. Tell your neighbor, I am a dignified kingdom priest. So 1,000 will fall at my left. 10,000 pounds will be lost at my right. But it won't come near my property. Give him praise and thank him, Brother Pat. This you got to believe this. Because they received an allotment. In other words, God's going to give you daily bread in the midst of starvation. Tell your neighbor, don't worry. The government got you covered. See, Joseph was an interesting guy. Joseph was a government leader in two countries at the same time. He was a leader in Egypt, but also a leader in the kingdom of God. Now, remember who's running the country? Joseph. So the person who makes this law is actually Joseph. And Joseph, look, we can't touch the priests. Oh, Jesus. Let me just say this right now. Please take comfort in this. If you experience a release into opportunity, then that is the will of God. Because they can't touch you unless they got permission. All right, I ain't gonna say that no more. You gotta catch that one. Tell your neighbor, they can't touch me without permission from my other government. You know what Jesus told Pilate? He told Pilate, Pilate said, do you know I could kill you? Jesus said, look, you could have no authority over me except it was given to you by my Father who's in heaven. Tell your neighbor, I am protected. Not by my local government, but my original government. Give God a praise right there. Hallelujah. He did not buy the land of the priests because they received a regular allotment from Pharaoh and had food enough. Oh, Jesus. You better receive this man. In the middle of famine, the priest has food enough. How many children you got? Doesn't matter. You have enough. Two kids or 22. He says, I'm going to give you enough. I have an announcement to make. Very important announcement. Stop worrying. Thank you very much. That's a simple announcement. That's too simple. Stop worrying. The last part says, that is why they did not sell their land. In other words, they were under a different law. Now here's the last part of this. Very important. Look at verse 23. Joseph said to the people, now that I have bought you and your land today for the government, here is seed for you so you can plant the ground. In other words, the government now is controlling what happens in the private industry. Are you reading this in the Bible? This is good stuff. Look at this here. He said, verse 24, but when the crop comes up, Joseph says, give a fifth to the government. In other words, dividends coming to the government now. A fifth belongs to the government. The other four-fifths you may keep as seed for the fields and as food for yourselves and your children and your household. You have saved our lives, they said. Sounds like GM. Sounds like AIG. Come on, talk to me. That's sorry, the banks. Thank you, government. $700 billion. They already spent $300 billion and they're hanging on to three more trying to decide what they're doing. Why? Some of them, oh, you save our lives. You know, God is good to the Caribbean. Amen. Let me tell you why he's good. Because America already got the cold. So the pneumonia ain't hit us yet. So we got time to fix ourselves. See, some of y'all walk around and say, it ain't happened to you. You better get yourself and listen to the word of God I've been giving you the last 5 weeks. This thing gonna hit us. Ask the folks in this room who've been laid off in the hotels. You better get under the kingdom of God's system. There's no survival except the kingdom of God. You got to put on your priesthood fast. If you are not born again in the kingdom of God today, I promise you, you are going to have your land sold. They're going to own you. Joseph said, now that I have everything, you got to give me what I ask for. The government is controlling what happens in the banks in America now. Look at verse 24. But when the crop comes up, a fifth belongs to the government, and then 4/5 belong to you and your children and your household. You have saved us, they said. May we find favor in the eyes of our Lord. We will be in bondage. We will be in bondage. We will be in bondage to who? The government. That is socialism. Hate that word, don't we? I thought it would be good to read that. Because you think that this is something new. It's as old as Egypt. Now, what do you do about it? How do you survive it? Joseph said these words. So Joseph established it as a law. Very important verse. He established what? A law. Now the government is making a law. Here's the law. Concerning all the private assets of the company, of the country. And that is still in force today. What is the law? A fifth of the produce belongs to the government. It was only the land of the priests that did not become government property. Tell your neighbor, I am protected from government control because I am under heaven's control. See, I just told you the only safe place right now for the next 5 years is going to be the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a higher law. Let's read Matthew, what God says to you. 6 verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Now here's a statement to remember. Are you not more valuable than birds? Ladies and gentlemen, this is what I want to leave you with today. Your value protects you. Oh, Jesus. Listen to the words of Jesus. Christ says, look, do not worry about food and clothes and car and house and mortgage and rent. He says, if you do that, it's going to kill you. Only pagans worry. He says, you better seek first the kingdom. He says, and in the kingdom, your value protects you. If he feeds the birds, how much more will he feed you? You are more valuable than birds. So, do not worry. By saying, I can add this and I can add this to my life. The last statement there is very important. The last statement there is telling you, you cannot control a lot of things in life. So get under the kingdom. You cannot decide how tall you're going to grow, how much hair is going to be on your head, or what's going to happen in your life. He says, so you better get under the kingdom of God. Worry is the most useless activity in human life. Worry changes nothing except your blood pressure. Some of you are beginning to worry. This word comes to you today. No money left the planet. However, the only people that will attract wealth in farming is priests. Amen. Hey, boy, say allotment. Allotment. Oh, my sister. Y'all don't understand that word. Hey, boy, say allotment. It says the priests can have allotment from the government of God. You know what allotment means? Your name on the envelope. You all ain't get that. No matter where the money is, there's some with your... There's an allotment. That's Cheryl on. That's John on. God said, don't touch that. That's John on. And I can get this to John over hell or high water. He will get to you what belongs to you. Matter of fact, lift your hands and say, I expect my allotment. You know, sometimes we expect it from different people. We try to get it from banks and friends. God says, look, relax for at least 24 hours. Give me 24 hours. You do nothing. Just relax. And believe me, and let me get your package to you. I confess today and prophesy. Your package is on the way to you in the name of Jesus. If you accept that prophecy, lift your hands and say, let it be as it is spoken. There are people who will travel across the world to bring your allotment. Oh man, I feel so lonely sometime up here. See, you think your salary was your allotment. That was the tip. Let me tell you something, you business people. There is an allotment because you are a priest for your business. That means there are customers no one can take. Come on, receive this. There are clients in the middle of the crisis who will come look you up and say, look, I want you to do my business for me. Anybody want to just confess that right now? You got to claim these things, you know. Say it, it shall be unto me as it is written. You are more valuable. So stop worrying, he says. Look at verse 30, Matthew 6. Out loud, read. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, he says, thrown into the fire, will he not much more? He said, why don't you just believe? Believing is hard work, you know. Because you got to fight all them thoughts that you're dealing with. You got to fight that bill on the table. You could see it. It says, there's an allotment for you. He said, but God, Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock, God said, shut up and just have faith. Believe. You know, you could actually believe a phone call into your life. Let me tell you something. You are one phone call away from debt-free living. You understand? God can do it. Bam. But he's wanting to see, are you going to trust the government, Pharaoh, or are you going to trust heaven? I got a prophecy right now. Lift your hand up, receive it right now. This week, your package is going to arrive. In the name of Jesus Christ, I prophesy it. Expect it, believe it, and receive it now. Thank him now. It's on the way. In the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and thank him right now. Believe. He says, oh ye of little faith. I don't preach no good teaching. This is the word of God to you. This is instruction. You got to receive it and thank him right now by faith. He is bringing your allotment. You know, on some people's allotment is $50. That's all they need. Some is $500. Some is $50,000. Some is $5 million. Whatever your allotment is, it's coming to you in the name of Jesus. I receive mine right now. I receive mine. Praise the Lord. I receive mine. I'm receiving. I receive it, Lord. I believe. I want you to leave this building skipping and dancing in your car. And just singing, it's done, it's done, it's done, it's done, it's on the way, it's done. My allotment. You're valuable. Now, I want to show you this verse. What do you do to live beyond the crisis? Let's read this verse from the book of Ecclesiastes. Ooh, this is so good. I call this employment versus deployment. Solomon says, sow your seed in the morning. That means go to work if you got a job. But in the evening, let not your hands be idle. That means don't only have one source of income. I'm talking to your man. Your man. You listening? He says, look, don't put your eggs in one basket. This is in the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, if your job is your life, you better never lose your job. Why? You lose your life. Ladies and gentlemen, God is giving us good advice. He says, go to work in the morning if you got a job and do good. And then when you get home, keep on working. Now let me tell you why. Read the last part of it. He says, because you do not know which one of them will prosper you. Wow. In other words, God doesn't want you to live off a salary. He wants you to develop the spirit of industry where you are also doing some other things just in case the salary dries up. The morning part, they control. Hey. But the evening part, you control. So they can fire you from the morning part. But they give you more time to work on the evening part. Some of y'all ain't got the evening part. That's why you're scared to lose the morning part. And when you lose the morning part, you got a long evening. Y'all getting this revelation? Be creative, son. Think about new things to do with your gift. This is good advice. And what I tell people, this verse also means, no matter how much revelation you get from God this morning in any teaching or last week or before, don't resign from your job. Stay on your job. But you start working on your dream after you get off. That means don't be stupid. Goodbye, Brother Bob. Have a safe trip. We love you. Bye, Pat. We play golf next time. Do not be stupid and leave a secure job. Now, they let you go. That's opportunity. But if you jump boat, that's stupidity. Work on your job and then work on your work. He says, both may prosper you. Look at that last part. Imagine getting rich both ways. Now, what eventually happens is the one that you work on, usually in the evening, will outpace eventually the one you work on in the morning. So you got to work both. That means one of them is your job, the other one is your work. Let me just give you this. Write this down. You got to think beyond your job. Say it with me. See, if you do that, then you ain't afraid of crisis. Think beyond your job. Number two, there's no future in any job. So don't put your trust in that job. You need something beyond the job. You got to live beyond the crisis. Here's my third statement. Write this down, please. The future is in the one who holds the job. Where's the future? In the person who holds the job. It's not in the job. They can take their job back. So find something bigger than the job. And it is in you. And I put it to you, therefore, that you got to create your own business in your job. A job is someone paying you to develop yourself. A job is someone paying you to use your gifts and refine your gifts to become better. A job is someone paying you to become more experienced in your own gift. A job is an opportunity for someone to pay you to prepare you for your work. Don't hate jobs. Use them. Don't hate jobs. Benefit from them. Now, some of us, like me, my job and my work are one because I found my work. And if you are in your work, you have no job. You are in a work. But if your job is not your work, then you use your job to prepare you for your work. Imagine being paid to use other people's resources to develop yourself. What a blessing. And so, we need to know the difference between a job and work. Write this down quickly. Never confuse your job with your work. And number two, your job is what you were trained to do, but your work is what you were born to do. Your job is your career, that's true, but your work is your assignment in life. Your job is your skill, that's why they can get rid of you. But your work is your gift, they can never get rid of your gift. Your job, you can retire from, but you can never retire from your gift, your work. I put it to you that your job prepares you for your work. I had many jobs in my life, and each one of those jobs prepared me for what I'm doing right now. I was a teacher in the classroom for over 7 years. I taught junior high school and high school, and man, what a training to communicate. And boy, did I learn how to deal with different people and manage a group of people and how to handle fights and strife and pressure. That was good training. Just like Moses, he spent 40 years with sheep before God gave him people. He had to learn how to handle a group, how to lead a crowd, how to find water and food for them. Why? He was being trained to handle 3 million people. Your job is important, but it's not permanent. So do something after 5 o'clock. And I was thinking, if that young lady, my daughter, who started that company this morning, if she had started that company 5 years ago, after 5 o'clock, imagine, it wouldn't have mattered if she didn't have a job. What I'm saying to you is, I'm giving you an assignment right now. I want you to go home today and spend the evening thinking, asking God for His ideas. Show me what I can do after 5 o'clock. Remember, doing nothing is not an option. If a person controls any part of your time, they can always release you from it. Got it? Okay, let me say it again. See, from 9 to 5, they control your life. From 5 to midnight, you control that part. So if they control from 9 to 5, they can always fire you from that time. So use the time you control to prepare you for the time when they take their time back. It's a crisis. Work is, therefore, your most powerful pursuit. You don't want a job, you want work. Jobs are what? Temporary, but work is permanent. You can be fired from your job, that's why it's temporary. But your work, you cannot be fired from, and therefore your work protects you from your job. Say that with me. Work protects you from your job. You have to remember that you want to find out, what is my work in life? This level of teaching doesn't happen in every church. And this spirit I'm talking about doesn't happen in the Caribbean, hardly ever. And that is the spirit of deployment, not employment. It's important to be employed so that you can learn some things you can't learn without that relationship. But it's important to also deploy yourself so that you can become protected from in case they take away their job. You know, Let me tell you what they're going to use from now on. In the next 5 months, you can hear this word very often in your country. This is a word. Retooling. Write that down. Retooling or re-engineering of your skills. Now, what they mean by that is, if you was a banker and the bank collapsed, you got to learn something else. Yeah, but listen, you better learn to do plumbing. Or go be a nurse or something. I don't nurse. Hey, you broke. You got to learn to have new skills. Now listen, here's why I'm saying that. Y'all remember Moses? Moses was a dignified, elegant, well-mannered prince. And Moses, first of all, had to go work for his father-in-law. You can't be too bad than that. Father-in-law. Then he had to learn from sitting on a throne to spending all day with smelly sheep. Now that's a skills transformation. He no longer held a scepter in his hand as a prince. He held a piece of wood as a staff. Can you be so diverse in your skills that in case you shift, you can just shift to something else? People walk around and say, I'm an accountant. I'm an accountant. Oh, yeah? But you broke. Learn to paint houses for a while. I can't get my hands dirty. I'm an accountant. You better dirty them hands so you can eat. Moses went from prince to shepherd. But the shepherding was only temporary to train him for becoming a deliverer. Why did Moses work for his father-in-law? Because he married the man's daughter. And children came. And you know how father-in-laws go. You got my daughter, you give her all them children. Now don't look to me to help you, buddy. I can give you a job. Yeah, but I was a prince. I used to wear a robe. Shut up and work with the sheep. But you know, I got experience in being prince. Yeah, I know your experience, but you ain't work. Right now you broke, Moses. Go learn to take care of sheep. Skills diversification. Am I getting through? Yeah, that's why they say during crisis is a good time to be re-educated in many different things. So go on the internet and learn some things that you always wanted to learn. Do some studies. Start expanding your capacity to be diverse in skills. Your gift they cannot take from you, but your skills may become irrelevant. Every time you hear this word, look at me, redundant. Redundant means, yeah, you're skillful, but we don't need your skills no more. That's what that means. So learning to become so diverse, they say, well, you can't do this no more, but at least you got 5 more teams. We can put you in this other department. See, you don't leave the company. They just shift you somewhere else. It happened to you. Yeah, exactly. You see, if you got diverse skills, you make yourself indispensable. People sometimes ask me, Pastor Miles, are you an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher? I tell them, I say, I am all of them. See, that's my 9 o'clock tonight, I am catching a flight from Nassau to London direct tonight. Tomorrow I'm landing in Nigeria. Tomorrow night. Take a whole 2 days to get there. And I'm going straight in to do training in a bank, the second largest bank in Nigeria. I get to train all their managers, all the supervisors, and they pay me plenty of money to train them. Hang on. Watch this. Now, if I tell them I'm Reverend Bishop Apostle Miles, that's why you find no title on nothing I do. Why? Because when you put yourself in one skill, you become useless when they don't need that no more. Come on, clap right there, praise the Lord. So y'all don't call me no bishop. Don't you call me bishop. Now some folks need that, they like that. I ain't getting trapped. Gotta be diverse. Some of you are looking at me. Wow. Yeah, you call yourself evangelist, you might get trapped. See, I figured out years ago, if I say I'm an evangelist, I'm an evangelist, evangelist. God said, okay, so right now, I don't need evangelists. These people need teaching. So say evangelist, go. I need a teacher. Okay, you say teacher, yeah. He said, but right now what I need is an apostle to break some new grounds. You teacher, you can't use you. See, so he keeps throwing you away because he don't need you. But I like Jesus. I like Paul. Paul say, I become Jesus, Lord have mercy. He said, I can shift, I can change, I can become whatever I need to become to reach everybody. Hit somebody, say, diversify yourself. I say, hit him again, say, diversify your skills. So you'll always be needed. Come on, say it. Give God a hand for revelation. See, you need to become so skillful in many ways, it can use you. Write this down, please. Your work is your seed. This is why your work can never be taken from you. Your seed is your assignment. As you leave this place today, ask God to show you not your career, but your gift. Ask God to show you not your job, but your assignment. Because your assignment never leaves. And your assignment is always necessary in the world. The world always needs your gift. And that's the difference. In our next session, which I probably will give you in January, because next 2 weeks is Christmas, I'm going to show you how to find your gift. And by the way, get that book out there, In Charge. That's what the book is all about. See, everyone possesses seed, and that seed is your greatness. That's why God never told Adam to be seedful. He told him to be what? Fruitful. Because fruit come out of seed. God's already assuming you got seed. What he want to see now is what you got to come forth. So inside of you is a harvest waiting for the world to eat. And that means that your seed is the tremendous big ideas God keep putting in your heart, touching your gift. And I challenge you today to make yourself available to God all week and say, God, show me my work after 5 p.m. What am I supposed to be involved? What can I be doing? And then those of you who've been released into opportunity, you got all day to work on it. You got plenty of time now, see? Yeah. And that might be God saying, okay, it's time to start. Some folks don't fly until God kick him out of the nest. Now, listen, don't jump out the nest. Now, stay in the nest. But some people, God removes the nest. So they have to jump and fly. Maximize this time. Don't be depressed and complaining. Get busy and plan. Some folks become, you know, depressed and worried. Don't worry. Think. Dream. A lady came to me last week. She says, my fact is, it's a gentleman. He said, Dr. Monroe, I heard you teaching. I bake cakes. I'm going to give you one of my cakes. I tell him, yes, man. Give me the cake. He said, give it to you free. I said, you smart. Always give me free first. Yeah. I wonder what you got in your hand. You always got more than you can see. So I challenge you today to give your seed to the world now. The world is bankrupt. They don't know what to do. They need gifts. They don't need jobs. They're looking for answers. They're not looking for skill. Your gift is an answer that God knew the world would need. So ask God to give you those ideas. I'm so proud of some of you in this place. I've watched you follow your ideas. I mean, it's just so beautiful to see what you're going to do. Think more creatively now. Find some new ways to use your skill. And take your gift and multiply it in new ways. And ask some fresh, find some fresh ways to do it. And I was talking to one of the men in the church. He said, Pastor Miles, after that teaching 2 weeks ago, he says, man, oh my God, an idea. I said, well, he said, man, I was thinking, you know. And he told me this idea. I said, my goodness, man, that's a good idea. Here's the idea. Now, you all don't steal the idea. Oh, I shouldn't tell you all that. All right, I can tell you all the idea. Boy, that's a $1 million idea. Okay, anyhow, he can give me 10%, so everything cool. Ha 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 ha! Duplicated it. All right, let me close with a couple of thoughts here. Write this down. You always have what you were born with. Say it. Think about that statement a minute. You are not born with skill. You learn skill. But you're born with a gift. So they may take your job, they can't take your gift. And this is the time in crisis. You got to live beyond the crisis by tapping into your gift. Number two, you can never lose what you were born with. Number three, your future is not ahead of you, it's trapped within you. So your gift is what you carry with you when they release you into opportunity. Number four, you were born with seed. You don't have to go looking for your gift. You're born with it. And number five, the key to your life is discovering that seed, that gift, and then serving that gift to the world. That's what people want. The guy called me last night. He says, your plane ticket to Nigeria is $20,000. It's paid for. It's for his class. I said, thank you very much. Now, in the middle of crisis, they're paying that for me to come to serve them my gift. That's the point I'm trying to make. Not the money. In other words, when you refine and develop your gift to a point where it becomes so valuable that in the middle of crisis, they will transport you around the world to deliver your gift. Let me just say something too, just to keep you calm so you can be nice to me. When I use myself as an example, it's not pride, okay? See, I can't teach what I am not doing. That's why I tell you these stories. If it ain't happening to me, I can't teach it. So you learn from my life. Say, Lord, if you could do it for Pastor Miles, I'm next in line. They're looking for your gift. And like this one, seeds are never in recession. You ever heard a mango seed say, I can't grow right now because we got a recession? Oh, ain't that a good reminder? God said, look, no matter what happened in the world, when you land, boom, you start growing right where they land you. Recession is in the economy, not inside your body. Your body has a gift that's more powerful than the recession. You have a seed. I always say this, you know, and I keep reminding myself, you know, you go to Haiti. I know, I mean, you got to keep reminding yourself of this. Haiti, the United Nations claim, is the poorest country in the Western world. And yet, when you go to Haiti, there are many trees growing all over the place. Now, the trees don't know what the United Nations say. Are you with me? The seeds say, you know something, their opinion don't stop what I get. So the seeds grow right in the middle of the country. Tell your neighbor, doesn't care what the announcement is. I got germination for my generation. And they're going to eat my fruit. In farming. Amen. It's inside of you. So, what do you have? Read with me, please. And the Lord said to Moses, what is that in your hand? Do you know what Moses asked God? How will I deliver these people? That was the answer. What you need is right where you are. And it's under your control. That's why the book is called In Charge. I became in charge of my gift and it protected me from the environment. What is that in your hand? A staff, he says. God says, good. Throw it on the ground. Let me germinate this thing. Give your seed to God today. Tell him, germinate it. 2 Kings 4:2, Elijah said to her, how can I help you, woman? Tell me, what do you have in your house? He didn't say go look for nothing. It's right in your house. You know, the story ended wonderfully. She said, your servant has nothing there at all. She said, except a little oil. Everybody got a little something. And guess what? That's all Elisha needed. Do you know what Elijah response to that was? He says, okay, then go to your neighbors and ask them for as many bottles as you can find. Now she got little oil. He said, that's enough. I'm going to multiply this little oil in your house. You've been living with it all these years. It can be so much, you're going to need other people's bottles to put it in. I'm going to make you an exporter of oil that was in your house all these years. She went into the oil business in that chapter. She starts selling oil to her neighbors in their bottles. Come on, God is an amazing God, eh? Tell your neighbor, you're all coming for mine, and I can use your bags. That is the message. Live beyond this crisis. It's right in your house. Let God give you the wisdom to overcome. In Jesus' name. One last statement. It's found in the book of Matthew 14. Everybody read. And Jesus said, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And they answered. He said, that's good. Bring that to me. You know, I don't know what you got today, but he said, bring it to me. That's enough. You always have something that's enough. The problem is you can't see it's enough. And so this word of God comes to say, you shall expand beyond your borders. You shall grow in the midst of famine. And the government will not own you. Close your Bibles.
Thank you once again for listening to this message, as we hope that it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you new paths and opportunities so that you can discover your purpose. It is your love, support, and partnership that makes Monroe Global possible. Please visit us online at www.monroeglobal.com for more product, partnership, or to join us at one of our live events around the world.